Thanks for tuning in. You're listening to the best animated shows ever, so far, with MC and Troy.
And I'm MC.
This is best animated shows ever, so far.
This is the show where today... got to do that part. You got the tagline. For shame. This is the show where we watch, discuss, and rank every cartoon ever. Eventually.
I keep forgetting the tagline.
Do I normally say watch? I don't know.
I don't know. But I'm sure the tagline can change like multiple times.
I should write a script for that part.
Yeah. Yeah, so we both have it.
That'd be a good idea.
Yeah. But this episode is Mr. Pigeon of
Mr. Pigeon. Yep.
Miraculous Tales of Ladybug and Cat Noir.
You got it. Good job. Yes. For today's episode, we're not going to go into background stuff because I'm going to reserve this space for a chat with Alexis Mute Banshee, who suggested this show to us. So in lieu of background stuff, we're going to just do a Ladybug transition where you're going to see the Base SF logo come up on the screen and it's going to go ba-da-da-da-da-do, and then it'll cut to that interview. So, how did you come across Ladybug? What's your history?
So I was actually introduced to it. I have a friend that is super into like anime and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I used to go over to her place and watch live action Sailor Moon with her. Live action Sailor Moon is the most wonderful thing ever. But so I'd gone over to her place for that 7 or 8 times over a course of like 3 years, right? Like,
okay.
We lived kind of far away, so like we didn't see each other all that often, but we've done that. And then the last time we finished live action Sailor Moon and we were like, well, what do we do now? And my friend Catherine was like, well, there's this show coming out. And right now they've only released one episode. And like the rest of the show isn't coming out until later. It's like a teaser episode. But so I watched that. And then I was, and then my daughter's really into it. So like I've talked about it with her. I haven't actually seen all of it. And I was surprised to hear that the episode I watched was not the episode that ended up airing first. Yeah. And so like that was out on the internet somewhere. I don't know where my friend got it from, but that was out on the internet somewhere like before the rest of the show was released.
Interesting.
And so I had seen that one. And so I expected to go into episode one being like, all right, it's going to be fun to relive this episode. I haven't seen it forever. And then you guys talked about the bubbler and I was like, this is not the episode I watched.
Yeah, that'll be next week's episode. Will be Stormy Weather. So the one after this one, you'll be able to hear about that one.
Okay, excellent.
Which I really liked. I really like Stormy Weather a lot too. It's a pretty fun show, and it, I mean, like I was saying earlier, I feel like it's respectful of the audience in a way that a lot of kids' TV isn't.
I agree. Yeah, a lot of children's television kind of talks down to kids and stuff. Mm-hmm. And this is just like fun, kind of magical girl adventure stuff. And I love magical girl adventure stuff.
Now, see, I mentioned this in one of the episodes, but I've never really watched magical girl stuff. And in fact, you were talking about live action Sailor Moon. That's a thing? I did not know that was a thing. Is that a real thing or is that like a YouTube thing?
It's a real thing. So Sailor Moon was like crazy popular, right?
Uh-huh.
And so it must have been mid-90s or so, a production company in Japan was like, hey, we're gonna redo the first season of Sailor Moon, but we're gonna do it in live action. Because Sailor Moon was so popular, it did really well. And then also in Japan, what they have that they don't have in America, but in Japan, Sailor Moon musicals are a big thing, like stage on shows? Stage musical productions for Sailor Moon.
I had no idea.
And I've watched a couple bootlegs of them because that's the only way you can get them in America. And they are so much fun to watch.
That sounds fantastic.
Yeah.
I'm flabbergasted. I mean, I know of Sailor Moon, but I've never watched Sailor Moon. I had no idea that there was like an expanded Sailor Moon product line.
Yeah. No, it's really quite a thing.
So with me being kind of new to the genre, the only like serious magical girl trope that I could have identified in advance would be the transformation sequence, which Miraculous definitely has. Are there other tropes of that genre that this carries on?
Yeah, definitely. The idea that the two main characters, Adrian and what's her name? What's
his name? Oh my gosh. Wow, shameful of me.
It's Marionette.
Marionette, yes, Marionette.
The idea that Marionette and Adrian know each other as like normal people and also know each other as these superheroes, but don't know that each other are the superhero, like their secret identities, is super magical girly. That happens like all the time. In most magical girl shows, the viewers know a lot more about what's going on than the magical girls do. So like,
okay,
we often know who like villains are way ahead of people and stuff. And so like a lot of the experience of watching Magical Girl is like being like, no, you're blaming the wrong person. How do you love him and not know who he is in real life? Or things like that. Like,
well, that's one of my favorite things about this show is like the attitude that Ladybug has towards Cat Noir's advances.
Yes.
Where she's just like, I don't have time for this right now. And, yeah. And the fact that that's such an inversion of their, you know, non-superheroic identities is, I absolutely love that.
Yeah, I really, really do too. I really love Marionette's difference, kind of a subversion of the magical girl trope, is that in a lot of magical girl shows, the main character is often new at being a magical girl, and she's kind of clumsy, right? And she like probably has the most powerful attack, but like, her teammates have to do a lot of the fighting because she's like scared and running away a lot and isn't very competent. And I really like the subversion of Ladybug just being like, you know, it kind of feels like she knows what she's doing and she's confident and not running away from things and stuff. And I really like that as a subversion of the trope.
Yeah, that's something that I was I expected this to be an origin story, and at least in the first three episodes, they don't get anywhere near doing an origin story.
No, not really.
She's just doing her thing. And like one of the things that I noticed, and I think I might've mentioned this in episode one, so forgive me if I'm repeating myself, but she, as soon as there is trouble, she goes into like action mode even before she goes through like the transformation sequence.
Right.
So like, I liked that we got to see Marionette be competent and focused and action oriented, not just seeing Ladybug do those things.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. It's fun to see I think they're in high school or whatever. Right. And it's fun to see like, oh yeah, she's like kind of a shy high school student and stuff, but she knows how to do this thing really good. And like,
when she needs to, she can get stuff done. So how much more of the show have you seen?
I have seen the first two episodes, okay, and then I've seen, I've dropped into probably three quarters of the episodes, but not in any, like, specific order or anything, sure, because my daughter watches it all the time, right? So, okay, like, I, like, drop in on her watching episodes, and I'm like, oh, yeah, this is a really good show. It's on my list to, like, actually sit down and watch all of. But honestly, I don't actually turn on anime or animated things all that often, which is funny because I tend to really like them. Mm-hmm. But when I'm thinking about, like, what am I going to watch next, that is not usually like, oh, I'll go watch that.
This is definitely a show I want to watch more of. It's tough because, like you, I don't think of cartoons first when I sit down to watch something. But it's a good show. I like it. I'm not going to tell you where we put it on our lists, but on your hypothetical ranking of the best animated shows ever, do you have a thought on roughly where this would go?
I mean, I like the Dark Magical Girl series better. They just hit my aesthetic, which is like cute and also grimdark both at the mm-hmm. same time. So things like Madoka Magica and Magical Girl Raising Project I would rank above this. I'd rank Sailor Moon above this, especially early Sailor Moon. But I don't know, it would be higher than My Little Pony, which I really enjoyed for a long time.
Okay.
And better than Young Magical Girl Cardcaptor Sakura. I think this is better than Cardcaptor Sakura. So, like, if we're ranking it through magical girl things, I think I've got this. Magical girl rankings, right?
Okay. That'll work. That works.
Yeah, yeah. Magical girl rankings goes, I think, Sailor Moon first, just because it's like the origin and everything, and I have a lot of nostalgia for it. Madoka Magica, Sailor Moon Raising Project, Miraculous, Voltron, which is totally a magical girl show.
Okay, that's an interesting take that I want to spend the next half hour investigating, but we probably don't have time for that. Continue.
And then Cardcaptor Sakura, and I think that's like the first like five or six or something like that. All of them I love so much. Like, those are all things that I have a ton of feeling for, and by ranking them, like, by ranking Sakura at the bottom, like, I love Sakura so much. It's just, I like these others a bit more.
Totally fair. I mean, that's the goal, is to talk about the best shows. So
yeah.
Well, awesome. Thank you for chatting about it with me. You want to talk about Stories from Eorzea and how it's no longer Stories or from Eorzea?
Stories from Eorzea is my podcast. It was originally envisioned as a audio let's play of Final Fantasy 14. And so the world of Final Fantasy 14 is Eorzea. And it was like a hybrid podcast where I was like doing an actual play, but also like breaking out and reading prose that I had written about my character and her growth and things. That ended up being intensively required a ton of editing.
Right.
Required me to play the game in a way that I don't usually enjoy playing. It didn't even occur to me about this going in, right? But when I play MMOs, I want to spend like 3 hours running around and questing and exploring a storyline instead of like an hour to get through the introductory stuff and then being like, oh, I can't play until I produce an episode and things like that. Like, that was really frustrating for me. So now it's kind of like an experimental feed for me. I did, while I was recovering from surgery, I did a few, basically a very short Nuzlocke run of Final Fantasy Sun.
Final Fantasy Sun?
final. That's why it sounded wrong. Pokemon Sun. I was like, why doesn't that sound right? And that, I literally released like 10 episodes in like 5 days because I just had surgery and I was pretty much confined to my bed. And so I did zero editing for them. Anchor makes it really easy to just upload unedited stuff to your feed. And then we're doing, what I'm doing now is this Final Fantasy VII Nuzlocke, which I am so, not Nuzlocke, Materia Lockdown. And since I've been playing Final Fantasy VII, I went a completely different direction and took inspiration from another podcast I love, which is the Anthropocene Review. And so now, like, while I'm playing the game and, like, something catches my attention, I review that thing on a 5-star rating and write a sort of, like, essay about that thing and why it caught my attention in the game, but then also how that thing like relates to my own personal life and things. So I've done one on cross-dressing where I talk about Cloud's cross-dressing, but also my cross-dressing history. And I did one on limit breaks and how like I've spent decades obsessing over the idea of limit breaks and trying to integrate them into Dungeons and Dragons and then why Dungeons and Dragons matters and things like that. Usually they get fairly personal. I like to try to like share stories about my life that the cross-dressing one was kind of funny, haha story. The limit break one was a little bit more like I started talking about depression a little bit and things like that. But so like I try to be emotionally invested in what I'm reviewing, I guess is how I would put that.
Well, if you'll allow me to compliment it, I love your show. Each incarnation of it, I think, has been really interesting. The Final Fantasy one was astounding because you could tell how much work went into it, which, like you said, was kind of its downfall. And then the Pokemon one was a lot of fun. And then the current incarnation is, I think that the fact that you're willing to be emotionally invested in the things that you're talking about is making for some like really incredible stories. So I'm a big fan of your show.
Well, thank you. I really appreciate it. I actually have a lot of fun with it. And at some point, I'll probably find a format that actually I stick with for a while.
You did 10 episodes in the Pokemon format, so that's got to count for something.
Yeah, I did. It would have been more than that, too, except for then I made an oopsie. Is how we'll put that. And I thought it was really funny that I was trying to do an ASMR episode and like that's the last one and it's just like, oh, this is the episode I die. This was not planned ahead of time.
I think impromptu ASMR episodes are always a lot of fun from what I've seen.
Yeah, it was fun. But yeah, so I'm doing this until, I don't know, at least until I finish Final Fantasy VII. And then I do kind of like the idea that I do different things for like different games that I'm playing and stuff. It'll always be tangentially video game focused. All right. Well, thank you so much for having me on.
All right, MC, we can jump right in now to our thoughts on episode 2 of Miraculous Tales of Cat Bug and Lady Noir. That's not it. That's not it at all.
Cat Bug's from a different show.
That's a different one. That's the other one. Yeah. This is, as you said, Mr. Pigeon. This episode aired in the U.S. on December 13th in 2015. It turns out it looks like this show actually aired in Korea before it aired in the U.S. because the Korean date for this one is September 29th. So a couple months earlier. Didn't realize that. That's kind of cool.
Here, let me just give a quick summary of what happens in this episode.
Sure.
They are in class, they get a design competition from teacher or principal. I'm not sure, but the judge is going to be Adrian's dad.
Mm-hmm.
And they're told they have to design a derby hat. And while in the park, designing, where Marionette sees a police officer tell off a man who is eventually possessed by an Akuma and causes trouble around the city in its parks.
As Mr. Pigeon.
As Mr. Pigeon.
A pigeon-based supervillain.
Yeah. And it's great.
Yeah, that's the setup on this one. Yeah. So right off the bat, I guess in episode one, we got mention that Adrian modeled. I mean, we saw on her computer at the beginning pictures of him modeling. And I think at one point he was like, gotta go do a photo shoot.
Yeah.
It turns out the reason he's a model is because his dad is famous fashion designer, Gabriel Agreste. And Agreste? Is that how you say it? I don't know. I'm just reading this name.
I can't remember.
Don't have any idea how they said it in the show.
I have it written down, but I can't remember.
I'm bad at remembering pronunciations of things, is the thing that I'm learning.
We're just going to call him Gabe from now on.
Good old Gabe.
Yeah, Gabe.
And the prize of this competition, very important, is that next fashion show or photo shoot or tour or whatever, Adrian is going to wear the winning derby hat. So
yes,
this is a chance for him to wear a hat designed by Marionette. And that's apparently an important part of romance is, you know, the part of romance where your prospective mate wears a hat that you designed, I guess.
And
it's a weird, like this has to happen. If this happens, all of my awkwardness around the guy I have a crush on will be resolved.
And we'll end up getting married and having kids. But that seems to be her thinking. But she's like freaking out over her designs because she doesn't have a design for a derby hat.
Is this the one? No, it's next episode where she has the great spin out about getting married and having kids.
Oh, okay.
In this one, she has it about how she's probably going to make a fool of herself and she's going to trip over her hat and she's going to collapse onto good old Gabe and she's going to give him a concussion and then Adrian's going to hate me forever.
Yeah, that's right. That's the one that happens in this episode. But yeah, she has a freak out, essentially. Yep. And it's like she's looking through her design book and there's no derby hats. And then her friend takes the book and she's flipping through it. And she's like, your designs are great. You'll come up with something good. Mm-hmm. And this is when Adrian walks up and he's like, oh, those are some good designs. You've made some good designs to her friend.
Oh, it's so sad. Like,
and no, here's the best thing. Her friend immediately is like, oh, no, these aren't my design. These are Marionette's. And that's when she has another, like, brain burp, as I call them, because she can't say words properly.
Yeah, she really chokes up anytime Adrian pays any attention to her. She just can't handle it. I don't remember what her mix-up she says on this one is.
I can't remember. Oh, I don't think I even wrote it down. I just think I have her freaking out.
But in any case, Adrian tells her that he thinks her designs are really good. And he's like, you're going to win for sure. And Marionette's like, wee!
Yeah, and Chloe, who's being all evil over in the shadows
freaking
somewhere.
Freaking Chloe.
She's like, I'm going to win this by stealing her design.
Bum, bum, bum!
I'm like, okay, that's like the stupidest thing to do.
Yeah. Like, it's almost like this is a terrible plan that's absolutely going to go wrong.
Yeah.
Anyway, in Hawkmoth's lair.
No, wait. The best scene in this is because when you see her as Ladybug and she's all confident and stuff, she's like all agile and stuff. In fact, later on in my notes, because I was drinking while watching this show. I just have like three different notes that just say parkour or cats and like exclamation marks, because she's like doing flips and shit and she's like running across the top of buildings. Like she is really well coordinated. But in this scene as Marionette, she runs directly into a wall, yep. runs past the door she wants to go in, and then runs back and walks through the door. Like, how awkward is that for a person?
It's great because, like, I think that's... It's a combination of Marionette's just terribly uncoordinated, even though her superhero alter ego is amazing, but also she's just so flustered by, like, ah, Adrian! And it's,
yeah,
it's just,
giving her a compliment.
Cute.
Yeah.
It's real cute. It's a little sad. Like, come on, Marionette. Like, you can be confident
together.
On your own. But also, it's real cute.
Yeah.
But,
yeah, and she's like, she goes to her spot where she likes to design. And she's
Yeah, doesn't
drawing...
she say, like, my secret garden of inspiration or something? And it's the freaking Eiffel Tower? That's not your secret garden of inspiration.
It's not the Eiffel Tower. You can see the Eiffel Tower from there. It's like a park or something.
It's still a public park.
Yeah.
It's patrolled by a police officer. It can't be that secret.
She's doing a whole bunch of designs and stuff mm-hmm. there. And this is where Mr. Ramier is introduced, who comes in and he's like in a very nice suit. And he sits down and he... calls over his pigeons, and he starts feeding his pigeons. Very lovely man. He's very polite, and he just likes feeding pigeons and taking care of the pigeons.
Mm-hmm.
And then a big mean cop comes up and tells him off.
Yeah. Kicks him out, says he's banned in every park in Paris for feeding pigeons because they don't want the pigeons fed, because if they get fed, they poop all over the park. So he gets kicked out, and Marionette's like, oh, I almost feel sad for him. I do have to take a time out here, MC, because I have to tell you that I hated this scene, very, very much so, because this scene contained two of the most awful sounds in the world for Troy. And to give you a demonstration here, here's the first sound is Marionette is sitting sketching in her sketchbook, and we get to hear the lovely Foley work that goes.
Oh, yeah.
Why is she ripping pages out of her sketchbook? Marionette, you don't rip pages out of your sketchbook. If you make a sketch you don't like, you just leave it there, because someday you'll look back at it later and get ideas from the sketch you don't like. Don't rip pages out of your sketchbook.
While I do agree with you, there are also sketchbooks that are designed with, like...
rip out pages
yeah.
and crumple them up, MC?
To rip pages out, yes. They have, like,
and
a little...
crumple them up.
No, I would say you put them aside into, like, maybe not pile of, like, sketches, but they are clearly designed so you can rip the page out. You're not supposed to rip the page. There's actually, like, a cut...
A perforated...
Like a perforated edge where you can tear them out. I still don't believe you should tear pages out of notebooks, but her notebook... was definitely not one of those. It was like a ragged edge when
she
tore it out. And I was
that
frustrated with her so much. Because
the second...
even when...
Go ahead.
Even when I do take pages out of notebooks, because I just want to like do rough sketches and do all that sort of thing, what I normally would do in high school and stuff, I'd go to like the middle pages of... whatever notebook I was going to take the page out of, undo the staples, and then take just the middle page out, and then put the staples back down. So I wouldn't be tearing the page out.
That's somehow more upsetting to me. I don't know why, but I don't like that. I don't like that at all. Because then you're like, you're making the book pretend that those pages were never there.
Yep. And it actually... removes four pages, not two.
So here's my second issue with this scene. The pigeon man, MC. I don't know if you remember, but Troy has a little bit of a bird phobia.
Yeah, I know.
And I don't know if you remember this particular story, but one time, little baby Troy, little baby high schooler Troy, little baby high schooler aged the same age as Marionette and Adrian in this show, Troy, was in Paris with his brother David, and they were at the Notre Dame Cathedral, and there was a... Fuck it, I'm going to censor this, but there was a fuck ton of pigeons outside of Notre Dame Cathedral, and Troy walked around a man feeding the pigeons, avoiding the pigeons, and David also walked around the man feeding the pigeons, avoiding the pigeons, but on the other side of the pigeons. And then do you know what he did? David ran through the pigeons, making a bunch of noise directly at Troy, so that he threw a flock of pigeons at my face!
I do remember this story. And when you told this, David was sitting there, and he was just like smiling and nodding along.
I would like, if I could, to give you another reading from my notes.
Yeah?
Flinch. She ripped a page out of her sketchbook. Oh, but this drawing a hat montage is really cute. Oh god, there's a pigeon man! Ah, I hate him! Get him away! Get him away!
I'm pretty sure what happens now is, after the cop chases him away and bans him from all the parks, is the Hawk Moth scene where he gets
Hawk
possessed. He possesses Mr. Ramier with an Akuna. And essentially his power is to get pigeons to flock to him and do his bidding.
Yeah.
And he's even more bird-like
than he was before.
Yeah. Oh, the great thing is his suit. It's supposed to make him look like a pigeon, but doesn't at all. It just makes him look like a weirdo.
Yeah, it's an upsetting outfit. Even if you don't have a problem with birds, it's just, it's not a good look. The bubbler was a cool look. That was a cool villain design.
Yeah,
Mr. Pigeon.
This looks like someone took a pigeon suit, like a man-sized pigeon suit, cut a hole in the face where the beak should be, and then ripped all the feathers off of it. That's what it looks like.
Yup. Yeah. So meanwhile, we cut back to Marionette. She was inspired by Ramir because she was like, oh man, all that guy needed was a feather jacket. And she's like, feathers. So she's sketching away in her notebook while the preppy blonde Chloe and her friend are there. And Chloe's friend goes and gets a picture on her phone. Apparently a very crystal clear picture on her phone.
Of the exact drawing of the derby hat that Marionette's going to make.
Yep, which is just a black derby hat with like a Fithinpedger motif across the top. Fithinpedgers. You know Fithinpedgers?
Pigeon.
Fithinpedgers.
I think you mean pigeon feathers.
I think this episode might have upset me.
Yeah, no, I understand your fear of birds, and I don't get it. When you told me that story about David running the birds at you, I'm like, why didn't you make more noise and run back at him and make them fly at him? And you were like, how would that work? I'm like, it just does. Pigeons are scared of noises.
I'm scared of pigeons, so that would never happen. There's nothing you could do that would get me to run into a cloud of pigeons, especially when they're already flying at me.
About 4 or 5 months ago, you would have hated being at my house because they were all over our roof. We actually had to get a whole bunch of them killed off, and then we had to take our solar panels off the roof and get them cleaned out because they were nesting under it.
Gross.
But yeah, now there's all wire and stuff around it, so they can't anymore. But, I have no problems with birds, so this episode was really weird because it goes from this guy feeding pigeons to being able to control pigeons.
Right.
And Marionette's still designing the hat. And she goes home and she actually makes the derby hat. And then she realizes, oh no, I forgot to grab a feather.
Yeah.
So she runs back to the park. She
needs a pigeon feather. It's essential for the hat.
So what happens is she runs back to the park. And she runs into the cop.
I just noticed. I want to pause on the cop real quick because if you look at the Miraculous Ladybug wiki, his name is given here. His full name, Roger Rencompre, and it's a highlight, which means you can click on it. Oh, interesting.
What? Is he a recurring character?
Yeah. Yeah.
Is he a jerk?
Can I tell you spoilers?
Sure.
Spoilers. If you don't want to know about what happens later on in this show, skip this episode, or skip 30 seconds ahead. Lieutenant Roger Rencompre, also known as Agent Roger or formerly Officer Roger, is a policeman and Sabrina Rencompre's father. In Roger Cop, when he's fired by Andre Bourgeois, Chloe's dad, for refusing to arrest Marionette Dupont-Cheng for stealing Chloe Bourgeois's bracelet without evidence, which would be in violation of the law, he is akumatized by Hawk Moth and becomes Roger Cop, a robot policeman supervillain. Cool.
Cool. Go to see that episode.
All right. End spoilers. She runs into the policeman. He gives her kind of a look. And then she goes and finds a feather. And then she starts heading home. She's taking the bus home. And the bus stops.
So, she grabbed the feather first. Then she runs into the cop.
Oh. What?
Because what happens before she gets on the bus is the cop gets abducted by a flock of pigeons.
Oh, that's true. That does happen. I forgot.
Yeah.
I forgot.
Yeah. And you're like, uh-oh.
That's right. Uh-oh. Wait, where's my note on that? She needs a pigeon feather to finish the hat. Oh, geez, the officer just got taken away by a pack of pigeons. So many pigeons, their cold, dead eyes.
Oh, my God. That would be your worst nightmare.
So the bus stops because there's pigeons everywhere, and she gets off the bus. They're everywhere. They're blocking traffic. And the news report is talking about how there's pigeons taking over Paris. And the headline on the news report is, roo, roo. And I'm like, why would that be your headline? Did the pigeons take over your subtitling department?
But what's great is also in the news report, they're like, oh yeah, and all the park rangers, or all the park keepers have gone missing.
Yeah.
And it's like, we don't know what's going on. And then it's like Marionette's like, oh no, Akuma's loose.
Yep. Again, instantly she knows what's up and spots on, mother hacker. It's time.
I have a note here that just says Mr. Pigeon coos and then transformation.
I think we get him on the news report.
Yeah,
saying that Paris belongs to the pigeons and so long park rangers and stuff. That's his whole deal.
Yeah. And he starts going cool, cool, cool. And then
the head motion. It was the head motion that made that.
And then Marionette transforms into Ladybug.
Mm-hmm. And then we get first-person parkour, which is rad.
Yeah. Then my note, parkour, the first one of three. pigeons attack the hero.
While she's parkouring across the rooftops looking at the pigeons, Cat Noir's like, chilling in like sexy leaning over pose and is like, oh hey Ladybug, how's it going? That's you, because it turns out he's really allergic to pigeons.
Feathers, not pigeons.
You're right, feathers specifically. Catwalk gets abducted by pigeons, and she has to parkour after him.
They get attacked and trapped in a cage, which is really weird. Because they're getting attacked from all sides by pigeons, and then more pigeons come along with a cage and drop it on top of them.
Yeah.
Really weird.
And they're trapped for a while before Cat Noir remembers that he has Cataclysm, which can, like, break through anything, I guess, and uses them to bust out of the cage. Which is my problem here with both the first and the second episode, is in both of them, they're trapped for a while, and then he's like, oh yeah, Cataclysm. And I'm like,
oh,
dude, how come you don't just use that instantly when you get trapped?
Well, I have a theory about that.
Okay.
Because he does attempt both times to get out without using it.
That's true.
Because what happens is when he uses Cataclysm is it depletes the energy of his Miraculous, which means he has to transform back, and he doesn't want to reveal his secret identity.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair.
Because that's that's the next note in the next bit, because as soon as they bust out and they start going down the stairs, Ladybug turns to him and is like, we better get this over quick. And she's like, yeah, you don't want to reveal your secret identity.
Yeah. And they head downstairs and run into the mayor of Paris, Chloe's father,
yep.
André Bourgeois. Cat Noir is like, hey dude, I gotta go right now. And he's like, you need to take a poop. Go up and use my suite. There's toilet paper up there. And he's
Do you need litter?
Yeah.
Do you need litter?
And he's like, no, but give me some cheese.
Yeah. Yeah, but no, he's like, yeah, but can I get some camembert? Yeah. And the mayor looks at him weird, like,
you're going to the cheese?
You're going to the bathroom and you want cheese? What? And then I guess the mayor's retainer, assistant, butler, dude, yeah. Goes up in the elevator with Cat Noir, and he runs into the bedroom. Or living it room, and closes the door on the butler, and he's like, how do you like your camembert? And because he knocks on the door, and he opens it up, and it's like, runny, and then he slams the door again, and then you hear another knock, like, half a second later, opens it back up, and he has the tray with the cover on it already.
Yep. They are on top of it in this, in this royal palace or whatever it is. He calls it the royal suite, but I don't think... I think he's a mayor. Anyway, they bring him cheese. Plague gets to recharge, and Cat Noir gets to transform back, and we're all good again. Avoided catastrophe there.
And he didn't reveal his secret identity.
Yep.
And then Ladybug turns up into the hotel room.
No, I think he comes back down, but the next kind of piece of the puzzle is they figure out that park rangers are disappearing. And they're like, how are we going to find Mr. Pigeon? And she's like, we don't need to fight him. He'll find us. And Cat Noir is in disguise.
He has a police hat on, but he's still Cat Noir.
He's just wearing a hat. And then he's standing there. And he starts dancing.
Was the best thing about this whole scene. I'm just like, Cat Noir's dancing, and it's awesome.
I have to look real quick. Cat Noir dancing GIF. Does this GIF exist already? Because if not, I need to go make it. Yes. Yep. Yes, it does.
But it's great. He just starts like breakdancing and stuff as well. It's so energetic. And you're just like, yeah, that's what a cat would do. Like, cats can't sit still unless they want to sit still. And if they're full of energy, they're full of energy. Especially if they're kittens. Like, we've got a cat that's less than 1 year old.
Okay.
Essentially, she will have these times where all of a sudden she'll just get up and she'll just start sprinting around the house. And she'll jump off walls and run into things and just like be bouncing everywhere. And I'm like, as soon as I saw him dancing, I'm like, that's totally a cat thing. Like, can't stop moving now. I'm just full of energy.
Yeah. It's very appropriate behavior.
But what's great is, Mr. Pig, Pigeon is immediately like, oh, that's a park ranger.
Right. There's a pigeon watching him, and the pigeon, even the pigeon flies off and is like, hey, I found Cat Noir and Ladybug. They're over there.
Essentially, that's what happens. And he's like, ah, Cat Noir and Ladybug, I found you.
And it does not work at all.
Yeah. I'm like, yeah, of course. He's just wearing a hat. Like, of course, that's what a teenager thinks is like a good disguise. But any rational person is like, that's not a disguise.
Yeah, it's just a hat.
But yeah, it's great. And a flock of pigeons is sent after Cat Noir, and he's abducted.
Mm-hmm.
And Ladybug, again, has to do parkour to try and keep up with these pigeons who are flying away. And they get trapped on the roof with a flock of pigeons at some point here, don't they?
No, hang on. I think you just jump backwards. Mr. Pigeon knows where they are. Okay, hang on.
Maybe I did jump back in my notes. No, I got parkour.
Huh.
Maybe we jumped forward.
Oh, we did. The park keeper thing was earlier in the episode.
Okay.
Oh, that was before they ever found Mr. Pigeon. So she saw the news report. She runs into Cat Noir, and they're like, how are we going to find this guy? And she's like, they've been abducting park rangers, so we'll just find him that way. So it's before the cage and everything.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Because then the pigeons pick him up, they take him to the rooftop, then the cage drops on their head, he uses Cataclysm to get out, he has the poop joke, they eat the cheese, and then they go to, that's what it is, she is looking out a window, and she sees all the pigeons are heading towards the Grand Palace, and so they head that direction.
See, so we jump forward, and then I jump back.
Yeah. So then they get to the Grand Palace, and they look inside, and they see the park keepers, but they're like, don't see anything else. Clearly this is a trap, which, again, I like that they realize that. They're like, we're not just going to run in there. Let's go up to the roof. And they go up to the roof and look down, and, like, the whole top of the building inside is ringed with pigeons.
You know what would be really smart?
Hmm.
Not opening a window to a bunch of pigeons when you are allergic to feathers.
Yeah, that would be a smart thing to do.
When you're trying to sneak up on your enemies, because you know what happens if you're allergic to feathers?
When you open that window to the room full of birds, I bet you would have an allergic reaction of some sort to just all the feather dandruff that was filling the room.
Oh yeah, that seems reasonable. What allergic reaction might happen that might alert your enemy to you sneaking up on them?
You might, like, break out in a rash or something. That probably wouldn't alert your enemy, so that'd be okay. But you might also, like, I don't know, sneeze really loudly.
Yeah, that's something that you might want to consider. Like, when I go out for my walks and there's a high pollen count, I know I'm going to sneeze multiple times, and I'm okay with that. But when you're sneaking up on an enemy, you might want to consider your allergies.
When you're sneaking up on an enemy, you might want to consider your allergies.
Yeah. So
good advice from Base SFcast.
Mr. Pigeon's alerted immediately to them sneaking into the roof because Cat Noir sneezes immediately.
But that's great because it means we get super cool fight scene again.
Oh, yeah. Great fight scenes in all of these episodes.
There's quite a bit of action here. The thing that I love is that Mr. Pigeon, whose whole thing is that he loves the pigeons, uses the pigeons to make giant fists and punches the heroes with birds. You can't punch things with birds, no. Mr. Pigeon. They have very brittle bones. You're hurting so many pigeons.
And the Paul Park Rangers and the cop are stuck in a cage the whole time.
Yep.
And
go ahead.
Well, this is when Ladybug, they have that whole fight scene, and Ladybug's like, Lucky Charm, and she gets a coin.
Yep, just a coin.
Yeah, and it's like, ah, crap, what am I supposed to do with this? And then there's, like, vending machines on the other side of the room.
Yep.
And she comes up with a whole plan where she pops the coin into a vending machine, hits a button, and pulls out popcorn.
Yep. Then she tosses the popcorn up in the air right above Mr. Pigeon, who she wrapped up his ankles with her yo-yo. And then Cat Noir throws his staff and bursts the bag of popcorn so that popcorn falls all over Mr. Pigeon and he gets swarmed by his own pigeons.
Bum, bum, bum.
So then she yanks on the yo-yo while he's all dealing with the pigeons, which pulls him way up into the air. And when he's pulled up into the air, his bird whistle falls off his neck, which I don't think we mentioned earlier, but that's where the Akuma is in his bird whistle. So it falls down, they smash it real good, and we miraculous the heck out of it.
Yep. And the day is saved.
The day is saved. Superhero story over, which means we cut back to the high school drama story.
Wait, there's a scene with Hawk Moth there. I can't remember what it is, but my note just says, Hawk Moth is weird.
This is true. I believe it was actually, I just glanced up because I have this playing as we're talking.
Yeah.
And I glanced up and saw the scene you're talking about, which is just before the sneezing thing happens. And Mr. Pigeon is talking to Hawk Moth and says, it won't be long before you get your miraculouses. And Hawk Moth goes, I can't wait, my dear pigeon.
I think that's the exact reason why I put that down.
Yep. Hawk Moth is indeed weird.
Like you were saying, we get back to the high school drama aspect of this show, and Marionette finishes off her derby hat.
Yep.
She's designed it.
She's not at the school originally, but she gets there just in time to submit her hat. Gabe, old Gabe's not there either. He's there by Skype teleconference.
Oh, that's the best thing. In my notes, it's like the assistant. I have in my notes, it says the assistant is going to judge. And I'm like, oh, no, wait, he's on the iPad.
Yep, of course he is. So he's getting shown around to the different designs. He looks at Chloe's first, which is exactly the same as Marionette's. And then he looks at Marionette's and he's like, turn the tablet back to Chloe's. Is this some kind of joke? They're the same hat. You all just made the same hat. What's going on here?
Actually, there's another person who he sees and he's like, adequate or something like that. And then it cuts to Chloe's and then Marionette's and she's like, no, I can actually prove I made this hat, and it's all my design. And we're like, ooh, what's going on? How is Chloe going to get caught out? Troy?
Well,
do you know?
I remember, but I'm trying to think, because she says something else. She's like, I've hidden some key details on the hat that only the designer would know. What did she say? Oh, she says everything is handmade or something like that. She says a couple things. And then she says, but there's a special element that only the true designer would know. I signed it. And there's some embroidery around the rim of the hat.
Yeah.
And if you turn it over, it says Marionette in it.
Yeah, it just looks like a cool design.
Yep.
In this, like, gold or, like, sort of metallic stitching work around the edge of... it's like on top of the brim.
Yeah, the band around the base.
The band, around the base of the hat. Like, it's just around there, and it just looks like some neat design. But as soon as you turn it upside down, it's her name.
Clear as day, says her name on both of their hats.
Yep.
Awkward. So, Chloe said earlier that Sabrina was like, so you're going to make this? And she's like, daddy will hire someone to make it for me.
Yeah.
Which, first of all, her dad's the mayor. That says all kinds of worrisome things about Paris's political system that her dad is willing to buy her schoolwork. But second of all, if your dad is willing to hire someone to make your homework project for you, don't you think he'd be willing to hire someone to design your homework project for you so that you could cheat without getting caught?
Oh, yeah. but here's next best thing. Marionette wins the competition with her hat.
Mm-hmm.
But in the next scene, she actually misses a clue that Adrian is Cat Noir.
Yes. Yes, she does. Because he's like, oh, I'm going to wear your hat. And he reaches out to take it from her, touches her hand. So romantic. And then he sneezes.
Yeah.
Just like Cat Noir. And my notes say, wait, is she figuring it out? This is huge. Oh, no. No, she's not.
She's totally oblivious that Adrian might be Cat Noir. And as Ladybug, she could just hit on him then.
And I made the note on this scene, but it happened. I think it happened in the last episode, too. But the episodes end with, like, ridiculous over-the-top anime freeze frames. And they're very good. So this one is like Marionette jumping all excited because her hat won. And then in the background, you see her hat. And then way in the foreground, like out of focus, you see Adrian in mid sneeze. It's just, it's a nice close to the episode. I really like
it. Yeah.
And that ends it.
Yeah.
I liked this episode despite the bird stuff. The bird stuff was really hard for me to deal with. But that's a testament to how much I like the show, that I still enjoyed this show a lot.
I forgot that you hated birds. I'm like, Troy's not going to like this episode. I don't know why, though.
That's why, because freaking birds all the way through with their cold, awful, dead eyes.
So it was somewhere in the back of my head that you didn't like birds, but I'm like, I enjoy this episode. I don't think Troy's going to like it as much as I did.
Yeah. That made it tough for me. Yeah. But I still really liked it.
No, it's a great show, and like all the action and stuff is on point. And like I said, there's like three parkour scenes in this one episode where she's just running across the roofs and jumping over stuff and whatnot.
So I agree. I think that the parkour was really cool. I love that there was a first person parkour thing. That was really, really cool to see. And the fight scene they actually have when they confront Mr. Pigeon is great. Now here's my question for you, MC. Mr. Pigeon surrounds his fist with a bunch of birds, and then he uses all of those birds to hit the heroes in the face. Do you know what he should have screamed when he did it?
I'm trying to think of a bird pun, but I can't.
Think Smash Brothers.
Falcon punch, but
pigeon
punch.
Join us next time when we talk about Miraculous Season 1, Episode 3, Stormy Weather.
Thanks for listening to the best animated shows ever, so far. Find the show on Twitter at BaseSFCast. Or email us at basesfcast@gmail.com. That's BaseSFCast. Our intro music is Funnin' and Sunnin', and our outro music is Motivator, both by Kevin MacLeod at incompetech.com, and licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0 license. Thanks again for listening, and tune in next time.